Hello, copy. There we are. How y'all? Good? Okay, I did my token up here. Can I come down? All right. There we go. Now, but I got to stay on the brown, right? Well, no, I asked her. I didn't remember. Okay, here it is. Thank y'all, everybody. I want to let you know how grateful I am to be here. What, did I already get off the thing already?
No, you're good.
Okay. I'm grateful to be here. Ms. Hogan is here. She's not sick. You got to come over here. I can't come over there. Un beso. You want to say something? Nothing? Otro beso, pues. Gracias. Muy amable. Her and I just completed 44 years. I don't care who you are at right there. It's a big deal right there. What? I done got myself full of energy, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the fire of God. I apologize to you. I'm not hungry. I'm not broken. I'm not put out. I'm not mad. I am full of the Holy Ghost. So you got to understand what's fixing to happen to you. Because I'm looking at some up here. So, you know, those two words say different things to different people.
Come on.
In my world, I'm going to explain to you what they mean. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right.
It's the 1%.
Yeah, it is. The one that goes in. All right. Let me do this first. The girls. I need to make them stand up and embarrass them. Good. Come on, girls. Stand up. Say hello. Over here on the thing so they can see you on the streaming deal. There you go. Y'all going to say hello?
Hello.
All right. Thank y'all. All right. This one is trying to marry my grandson. This one is trying to marry one of our co-workers. So I got to have them, and I got to look at them for a while. They're with us. And Ms. Hogan's twisting some few knobs. So it'll go well for them, probably, in Jesus' name. Because you can't ever, nothing is a given or 100%. You've got to have the mercy of God.
Amen.
Figured that one out. Okay, now, y'all done had your preaching, you done had your prophecies, now y'all all got all your stuff covered. Now it's my turn. I'm the dead raising guy. You know, this is not a joke. My sisters and my family, everybody, we're eighth generation preacher. They all gifted. Everybody's blessed, and they can play all these instruments, sing like beautiful birds. I can't do any of this stuff. What I got out of the deal was I can raise the dead. That's the only thing I got. So that's what I do. Holy Ghost. So we need to do this here. Now, there's lots of goodness going on around the planet. It's hard to talk without seeming like you're puffing yourself up. God's awesomeness, because of obedience, he showed us the trail. He stuck obedience in us. He filled us with faithfulness. He slapped us with diligence. He baptized us with the Holy Ghost. And then he struck a match to that and lit us on fire. And somehow, it works. Now, we're way down the trail, okay? I mean, like 40-something years down the road now. I never had a dream of international, worldwide ministry. I didn't know such thing existed. Honestly, let's be honest. I know that God spoke Mexico to me, and so my wife and I packed it up 40 years ago and left. And we didn't come back. And now there's lots of goodness done went under the bridge. The work is really large in Mexico now. And now we've messed around and heard a few voices and made a couple of good decisions. And the Holy Ghost has worked it out now. We have work on all the continents now. All right. That's weird. It's bizarre as the day is long. Because I'm not the guy that anybody would pick for that. I'm not. I'm just not the guy. If I'm in the lineup, they don't even look at me. They look at the nice guy over there. Because I'm not the nice guy. I'm a soldier. And I make no bones about it. You'll need me in a minute. And you're going to need a true blue soldier. That's what you're going to need. Somebody full of the Holy Ghost and not ashamed, not bashful. Somebody who's all in and don't care. You'll need me, and I'll still be on the trail in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's what I hope. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, Miss Hogan and I, we've been doing it a while now. She's still there smiling. That's pretty nice. I might need another kiss over, but I can't come. You got to come, because there's a limit. See it? Oh, no. Oh. That was electric. Holy Ghost. I'm not stalling. I don't have to. I can stop right now and get the same results we're going to get in a minute. You gotta understand how my world's going. It's going good. I've made a couple of decisions, and I'm going to tell you one or two of them. Because I too am all in. I don't know who this is, but I'm going to use it for example. I was down in Louisiana back in December. That's the state I'm originally from. There's a few things happen that y'all need in on. I know y'all are popping on a few cylinders around here. I got that. I'm good. Why do you think I'm here? Because I want some of what you got as well as you want some of what we got. I got that. I'm good. But what you need to understand is there's always more regardless of who we are and what we got going. God is the one in charge. God is the one doing the goodness. God is the one healing the sick. God is the one raising the dead. God is the one casting the devils out. God is the one. It's God. Yeah, and so now I need to tell you all that ahead of time because it's going to sound a little like gifts have something to do with it. It doesn't. That also is given from God to men. Hello? Don't follow gifts. Follow the Holy Ghost. Okay? Because gifts get bright and they seem like something we could follow. But the one you want is the one that gives the gift. That's where your true power is. And so we figured stuff out as we go. Hey, all right. I was down there, and there's this, we do this here. I'll do it as much as the elders and pastors will let me do it anywhere I'm at. Doesn't matter where I'm at in the world. I do my best to do this. Rich nations, poor nations, it doesn't matter. That's not relevant. It's Jesus that's relevant. Hello? And so we was down there, right? In Louisiana, and we're down there about an hour south, a little bit west of the Mississippi, down in Cajun land, and the house is packed. I mean, them Cajuns are up in there. They want some of it, boy. And I said, all right, then we'll just have to get it by the shovelfuls. That's how to go. I'll fill everybody's truck up with the Holy Ghost. And so they brought their things down there. And then a few days ago, I was back in Louisiana coming on trail up here in Albany, which is close to Hammond, which is close to New Orleans for you. North of New Orleans, on the north side of Lake Pontchartrain. And this really pretty black lady, she's up there, she's crying, she's holding on to me, you know, she's kissing me, and I was letting her. Miss Hogan was there, so she was all right. So, and she said, I have to thank you. I said, first of all, let's do it like this. If it has anything to do with healing or the power of the gospel or the Holy Ghost or the name of Jesus, I had nothing to do with it. Let's do it like that. But you can keep kissing me, though. She smelled really good. And so she was just bawling, and you know, and it was awesome, and I was happy for her. I didn't know anything about the situation, but I could tell that mercy had visited her home. And see, this is what you're going to find out today, tomorrow, and Sunday morning before I leave, is that I have run headlong into the mercy of God. I bounced around out there in these torture chambers y'all call war zones, and I have found heaven. And I like that. And I'm going to describe some of it to you, a little bit of it. Can't do much because y'all can't take it much, but you can take some. And so this lady, she says, Brother David, she got a hold of me, and boy, she's squeezing me hard, you know, and she's bawling, and thank you for the gospel. I said, darling, would you please forevermore tell me what happened? And she said, I brought my scarf to the meetings there in Adis, Louisiana, down there south of Baton Rouge. And all you did was walk by and wave your hand over stuff. You never actually touched my handkerchief, and I felt slighted a little bit. I said, baby, it's not the man. It's the obedience. It's you and I getting in agreement to the Word of God and calling it so. That's what it is. It's not details. See, y'all believe if it ain't done your way, it won't happen. Well, your way don't work. It's God's way or the dadgummit highway.
Amen.
So, I'll tell y'all why I'm so aggressive in a minute. Y'all always see me aggressive, but not like now. Now it's different. And so she went and got her cloth, and she went home. And I didn't know this, but her mom and her dad were both incurables at the house. And she spreads that scarf over that mom. Rheumatoid arthritis. Acute. Mom sat up, healed. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Now, she's 70 years old, Mom is. That's a little older than me. Not much, but a little. When she put the scarf on the dad, he got healed. And now both of them got them a membership at the local gym, and they work out every day. That's how healed they got. And she is so grateful because in her world, they were spun out. They're lost. But in God's world, no one is lost. No one. For any reason. How about that? Because here's my question to you. Because I know y'all are on fire and y'all are trying to be the cutting edge around. And I get that. I'm all right with that. Honestly, I am. But here's my problem. How far is too far to work with somebody to get them fixed? Everybody in this room has a limit. Except God. God has no limit. I would that none would perish. And that has no stipulations on it. You theologians, brighten up. If I'm wrong, I want to hear about it. Otherwise, keep your seat. This thing is out of hand. God has gone bonkers on us. He's just doing stuff. He's just in charge, and he's large. He's just doing stuff on purpose. Same set of services in Louisiana. December. Here we go. It's going to get you, y'all. I apologize to y'all ahead of time. Because you think you know. You think you're stretched. No. But you're fixing to be. There was lots of hundreds of those Cajuns up in there. And I was up in there. Our team was had a few guys and women with me, and we was blowing and going, buddy. We had the pedal to the metal. We was redlining this thing. We was blowing the doors off hell. That's what we was doing. Just cause we can. Cause I have figured something out over here. I am a son of God. See? I'm what's called a believer. If you ever wondered what one looked like.
Right.
See, everybody wants to challenge me, but there's no challenge. You unbelievers that are here to refute and to pick apart and to criticize and critique. Thank you for coming. I'm serious. No. I'm serious. I appreciate you coming because you fulfill the word of God. Because Jesus said, you unbelievers, you are condemned. You are the damned. That's what Jesus said.
That's right.
So I want to appreciate y'all for coming. So you can get your eyes on what a son of God looks like. Shakataba Shatana. So, what happened to you, old man? That's the right question. I just spent right at 5 months in a war zone where every time I look at Miss Hogan and I tell her I got to go to a certain place, it's 100%, I'm not going to see her again. Do you understand what I just said to you? And when you live that way a while, it brightens you up a little bit. The all-in term has significant value. You following me or not? All right. So what has happened to me, the energy, all the marathons, all those things I'm doing, preaching every day, at least 6 days a week, endlessly around the planet, is because of mercy. I tell you why the dead rise. It's mercy. I tell you why men are on fire. It's mercy. I tell you why marriages last. It's mercy. And we was in these meetings there in Addis, Louisiana. The church name is The River. And they river people. They literally they live by the river, Mississippi. And I'm there and all these Cajuns are down there and we're going for it. I mean, it's on, boy. It's free for all fight against hell, and we're gonna win. We're outnumbered. Don't matter. We're not giving in, not backing down, and we're not giving up. Jesus is king. The rest of you go home. I'm not. I'm staying here and fighting. Because Jesus is king, that's why. All right. Next thing I know, pastor's wife. You got one sitting over here. And she'll do, she's exactly the same cloth cut. If what happened up down there, well, she would do the same way. This pastor's wife, she comes and gets me by the collar. Brother David, because I'm busy casting out devils. What do you think sons of God do? They attack hell at every moment of their life as much as possible. And she said, look behind you. And I looked her in the face. No. I will not be distracted. I'm busy casting out devils. That's what you do as a son of God. You heal the sick. You cleanse the lepers. You raise the dead. That's what believers do. Amen. And so that's what I was doing. And so I went back to my job. And she got me by the collar again. Brother David, you need to turn around and look. And boy, I got a little, do y'all understand, huffy? Testy? That was me at the moment. I huffed at her. And then I turned around to see what had her so beside herself. And next thing you know, I'm standing there beside her. I'm beside myself standing there watching. There was the same amount of people up there, 9, that y'all had up here tonight. But they was up against the wall, and the music was playing by itself. What? Say it with me. I want that. That I want. And I'm standing there. Everybody is, the musicians are big-eyed on the other side looking at us. We all look at each other. Is this true or not? You there. Stand up and say if it is or not.
It was.
Okay. See, you get to these kids in them kind of services, what do you expect is going to happen to them?
Right.
That's right. I mean, them things don't play by themselves. But they do. I saw it with my own eyes. See, you unbelievers and you religious twits. Well, if the boots fit, put them on, son. You can't get away with that. Well, I just did. And I will again. See, truth has no equal. See, you got to understand. Mercy and the love of God combined with the truth of the gospel cannot be defeated. You hearing me or not? Shakata bashane. Because we sitting there. I don't know how long. It was a long time. I sit there expecting it to stop. But like I'm telling you, heaven is out of control. They just come in and take over stuff. They never asked you. And then when you do figure it out, they ignore you. I like this. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I want it every day. I want it. Say it. I want that. I want that. That's what I want. The weird, the awesome, the power, the mercy, where you can look at it. It's happening in front of hundreds of witnesses. See, I like that. Shakatana. I want that. I want that. I want that. Now, I was so impressed. Listen, I see dead raisins. I get to see diamonds fall in lots of meetings. Big diamonds. I see feathers coming by the hundreds of thousands. I see gold in the air so foggy you can't see people. I see stuff. And I'm impressed. Every time. And so we was just standing there. I mean, what do you do? Because there ain't nobody, there ain't no leader now. God done took over, and he don't let you see where he's at. Weird things just happen, but what do you do now? So I decided I was going to go back to my job. But I know one thing. I don't know how he's doing that, but I know he told me to cast out devils. So that's what I'm going to do. So give me somebody's hair over here. I'm going to come at me. Something I know what's happening. And I kept on. I must have stayed there an hour and a half. Boy, Holy Ghost smashed that joint, boy. I mean, there was bodies.
Yes.
All over in the music. The musicians never even got to pick up another instrument. And then they did it. They went and did it. And this is not my fault, y'all. None of this is. The only thing that was my fault is I was in the proximity. And then, the ladies had gone in the kitchen and done warmed up the gumbo. Now, for you poor souls that ever never eat gumbo, I don't feel sorry for you at all. Thank y'all. Leave me more. I smelled it. I'm up there casting out devils. I'm doing my job. And I turned around and the music's still going. And I said to myself, now it's decision time. Because you got a bona fide miracle happening. And you got some devils that need whooping. But there's some gumbo what needs eating also. So what do you think? I chose the gumbo. See, and you put your thumbs down at me. Dude, if he can run the music, he don't need me to cast out the devils. I done my job. Now it's time to eat some gumbo. Now, I know you hypo spiritual spooks in here that know everything except you don't do nothing. Did you hear me or should I say that again? Ouch. Okay. Y'all, of course, would have stayed there. And what's this? And tended to the Lord. Are you serious? Where you come up with that stuff? Dude, he's been running the universe millennia. Who knows how long before you ever came along? I'm sure he can do it while I eat my gumbo. So I snuck out of there. Now, I know that is funny because I don't sneak anywhere. As bold as I am, folks, watch me, boy. So I went on in the under to the kitchen. And that was the cooks are in there. I left everybody else doing whatever they did. God was still playing. I don't know what anybody else did. I was gone. Man, I went over there and I told them, ladies, what kind of gumbo you got here? They said, it's all yours. I said, no wonder I come in here. I knew God led me in here. There was these big old pots of seafood gumbo. Had me some bona fide tater salad. And some French bread. And I got the biggest bowl I could find. Filled it up with rice and gumbo. I went over to the table. And I got it. I'm covering it up like somebody's going to take it from me. Had me some iced tea and some gumbo. Son, world has come to good for me. Heaven has come on the planet for me. And I'm eating, you know, and I'm in there enjoying myself. Next thing I know, table fills up. You know, people eating. Lots of people followed my lead. It was a great lead. That was a good thing. And then here they did. Look, this is not my fault. I'm just in there doing my thing with the gumbo. I am not saying anything. I am busy. Get it. What does this have to do with the gospel? Would you chill out? It's my story. I will get there. Look at the color. I'm old. I'm slower now. Do you? That's a trick to get y'all out there on the trail. Let me just go by and smile at you. When you hear the Blood of Jesus song on my phone as I'm running. Okay, let's go. These ladies come in there and they got this box, see? I don't know if y'all understand this terminology. It's called Krispy Kreme. And they come over, and I'm now they the ones cooked the gumbo, and I'm guarding it. And they said, "We got you something." I said, "I got all I need right here," and they hemmed up this bowl right here. They said, "We got you some Krispy Kreme."
The precious.
I said, "So. How many of these things can I have?" They go, "That's your box." Hallelujah. I got my whole box of Krispy Kremes just to myself. It was hard to protect the Krispy Kremes and then my gumbo too. I opened that box and they were still warm. I stuck a whole Krispy Kreme donut in my mouth. And then I went back to the gumbo. It was fun. Now I'm in there enjoying myself. Have you figured that out yet? I've got it covered that you got the picture. And then here comes the musicians. But they don't have gumbo bowls in their hands. So I'm ignoring them. I pull my Krispy Kremes over here. There's other boxes. Get some from somewhere else. This is my box. This is true. True statement. And the lady, the young woman that was lead musician, boy, she's a gifted lady. She put her hands down right by my gumbo. I just picked up my fork and just looked at her. Listen, baby. You need to back up. She said, "Brother David, we need help." I said, "Give me 30 minutes and I might help you." She said, "Brother David, I need help now." I said, "You got to let me eat my gumbo? Brother David, I need you now." Okay, while I'm eating my gumbo, explain to me why you need me so drastically. So I'm not even looking at her. I'm just eating. She said, I need you to go in there and get our phones off the platform. I said, what? You expect me to leave my gumbo and my Krispy Kremes here? Have you lost your mind, kid? I don't care nothing about your phone, much as I do about this gumbo right here. She said, look, we've tried. We tried to get up in that sanctuary. We picked a guy to go in to get the phones off the platform. He'd take one step in, wham! And we reach in there and pull him out by his boot. And we picked three, and they couldn't make it past the what's that thing, foyer out there. I said, why? They said, God. I said, who's left in there? Just God. I said, just God's in the sanctuary, and he won't let us all in. He won't let us in. You walk one step in, wham, he knocks you down. And you, and they said, and we thought maybe you his friend. I said, how many of y'all he done knocked down? Three. He don't like me no more than he does y'all. I'm telling you. Here's how it went. After all the folks left, God kept playing. That thing went on for 3 or 4 hours around there. Ain't nobody in the auditorium. And when you look in there, there's these columns of light, shafts, all over the place in the auditorium. And it's got this stuff going up and down in it. We never got to see what the stuff was because you can't get there. Can't get to it. So I told him, I'm not going. I'm finishing my gumbo. And you've convinced me. I'm going home. See, y'all believe you can manage the glory. I believe God is in charge. So we don't agree on much. Men managing the glory is not the viewpoint of God. Letting him come in unlimited. Let him do what he wants to do. And us sitting on the sidelines watching, he likes that. Yes. You can participate if you can get in. Clearly the Bible says, no man can stand in the glory of God. So how bad do you want it? Say, I want that. I want God to where we can't even go in our own auditorium. I want that. I want that. I want that. I want that. So what does all in look like to you? Huh? It's changing, isn't it? Man, I like that. That is a good thing. He wants to be on the planet. He wants hungry people to draw him in. He wants thirsty people to be just determined to see him, to want him, to adore him, to praise him, to worship him. You can't be distracted. Ever. See, look at me. I'm pretty focused in my life right at this moment. There's some horrendous things going on around. I'll give a flip. I was over here in Albany, New York, south of Rochester, a few days ago. One of y'all's neighbors brought me a couple of incurables. Brought them in on mat. I hope they come tomorrow. I don't see them here now. I hope they come tomorrow. I hope. so I can get them to tell you. This is bizarre. You got this person laying on a mat, shriveled up, drooling, believing God to be healed, causing a scene. Been sick for years now. I invited them to bring him up in there. Because you don't know. Do you? You don't know he's not going to heal him. What proof you got that he won't? I got proof that he will. Because you know what? I am his favorite son. See, now you want to argue with me. That's entirely okay. Because if you are a believer, you also are a favorite son. But you see, the deal is, I act like it. It's because I am. He is the best dad ever. See, I stumbled around and got in the playhouse. You see me? You ain't never seen me like this. I know you've seen me a lot, but you ain't seen me like this. I don't know how, but I got in the playhouse. And there's these toys, you see. Dad comes in and he's got these toys and he just points at the box. You can have any of it.
Come on.
There is no limit and there's no obligation.
Come on.
And it's mine. And I messed around and got in a playhouse. And I'm not coming out. I am happy. And it's working. And these toys, they're odd toys in there. You know, like the little Collins light and the little things that you can't get your cell phone. Those kind of toys. You know, the little toys like this here, you don't know anybody hardly else that'll do that. We're getting thousands of miracles just by stuff. Just stuff. It's getting in agreement, you see. We're putting ourselves in agreement that Jesus is King.
Hallelujah.
And that brings the rain on hell, buddy. Shaka Neta. And this guy up here in Albany, you know, they picked him up. I know the whole family have been knowing him for several years. And they've lost a lot because of their belief. And they brought this incurable in there and they're holding him up because he can't stand up. He's lost, I don't know how many, lots of pounds of weight. And he can't walk, he can't stand, he's drooling, he can't talk. I'll go over there to him. Because I've been knowing him since he was a baby. And I walked over there and I took and held him. And I put his head down on my shoulder. I said, draw the life of God out of me, boy. Because I've got the life. Abundant life. Of the Holy Ghost. Now get you some. What? You know what he did? He got him some.
Amen.
You couldn't see any visible change. But in the morning when they wake up at the hotel, he ain't in his bed. And they're scared. He's been incurable for several years now. And they went and tried to find him. He's doing laps in the swimming pool. Duh! Oh, you need to get a grip. Do I? Or do you need to lose a little grip? Which is it? It's one of them. Isn't it? I'm staying in the playhouse. These awesome toys in the playhouse. And they work. They carried one of these things home, one of these here handkerchiefs home with them. The same family. What's wrong with that child? The teeth It was, what, 2 or 3 years old, no teeth grew out yet. It was, had lesions, and all over its skin was dripping stuff out of its skin, and all sorts of incurable things happened. And they laid that handkerchief on that kid and said, in the name of Jesus that this man preaches, be healed. In the morning, the lesions are gone. Amen. 2 days later, teeth in the head. So either I need to loosen more grip or you do. Something needs to happen, doesn't it? I'm all right with all the cute and smart and intellectual and theology and doctrine. Help yourself. It just don't work. We need Jesus. We do need guidelines. You know I know that. I live under guidelines. Strict ones. But none of them can infringe on my house, my playhouse time. Not one of them. I'm not coming off the slide. I'm the favorite son. I get it the most. But you daughters of Zion, it's time for you to rise in the power of the gospel. You sons of the King. It's reach and get it time. What? See, you don't know. I've faced my enemy a few times in the last few months. So I'll tell you a story, if that's all right. Wait a minute. We hadn't read any Bible. You religious twits. Well, go out of here, have a conniption fit, because I didn't read a verse. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It's a brand new Bible verse. I found it today. Look what it says. Hebrews 11, 1. First three words. What do they say?
Now.
What does it say?
Now.
What does it say?
Now.
What does it say?
Now.
Read it to me.
Now.
Read it to me.
Now.
Together, read it to me.
Now.
Say it again.
Now.
Say it again.
Now.
Do you understand what we're doing? We're decreeing into the heavens that faith is now.
Come on.
We're opening up the airways of the mercy of God.
Come, on. Yeah.
Come upon us, household of God.
Come on.
Now faith is.
That's right.
Now faith is.
That's it.
I have been doing this for over 3 years now. Every message, I mean, it's a lot. I preach every day. And I never, it may have been one or two along that I didn't. But listen to me. People are getting bored with it. But you ask these people that's getting healed how it's going for them. What do you think they believe about now faith is? Huh? You need a different message. Do I? This one's working. Are you serious? Well, I'm bored. You're not dying. But I know life. You see the color of my hair? Life don't go the way we think it ought to all the time. You'll need me in a minute. I'll bring my Hebrews 11 1 over here and get you healed, and we'll keep going. Shakaba. Shitanaktanabane. You don't even have to waste your breath, because I already know how touched I am. And it's on purpose. Jesus loves me. This I know, for my Bible My mama taught me that when I was 3 years old. It still works. My Bible tells me so. Little ones, to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Woo! Woo! Shakatarabashatana. All right, I'm going to go there. How far can I go on this aggression thing? Can I just give you one day in my life, but all the way?
Go for it. We're all in.
That's what I saw on the thing. I took a picture of it. Did you see me? I was impressed.
There you go.
We got to get it off the stage into our hearts now. And we will. And I'm going to help you. You know why? Because I'm one of the best. I can do this. I have stayed the course. I have watched it work over and over and over. I've watched every reason and logic and intellect fold. And I've watched simple faith in the name of Jesus triumph every time. What's Matthew? I don't know, but I want it to keep touching me, whatever it is. Well, I sure am being blessed by it.
Amen.
Now, as y'all know, because I come here and told you a couple of stories, but I didn't go into much detail like I'm going to this time. We still got time. Good. Good thing you started early. But you got one thing going for you. I left Lexington this morning at 6 something, so I'm also tired. But I am a good soldier. And I'm going to give you my very best. Because that's what my King gives me. This toy box thing is real. I got the best dad. Oh my God, he's so awesome. He loves me. Really loves me. Back in December, I was at the end of the year, I went to Mexico. I've been out preaching a little bit around the world. I've been around the world 2.5 times in a year and 2 months. I'm now going again. Every continent is open. It's all hands on deck. It's winner take all. We got this. Get in and get you some.
Yes, amen.
But what about the sharks? There's sharks? My dad takes care of that for me.
All right.
He lets me swim freely. He lets me have fun. So I get down there, you know, and one of the first things I do is I kill a cow. I bring in my pastors, you know, a couple hundred of them. We have a feast. We catch up with each other. I let them touch me and let them see I'm still alive and I'm still in Mexico and still on track and all of that. We have some adobo or some mole or some frijoles negros. We have something. We do something. Food. And so, you know, there's lots of people at my house, and we're serving all these Indians, and that's what we do. So, One of my elders comes up. I haven't seen him, you know, in the same amount of time as the rest of them. He's over there, and I noticed he's quite serious. Now, I'm not going to tell you much about this guy, but he lives in one of the worst scenarios in the world. He has been captured 13 times so far by bad guys. These guys are the ones that taught ISIS. Did you hear me? You need to do your homework. Where'd they get such an idea from? It came from New Mexico. Y'all need to look it up. They're bad. These people are bad. Okay, there you go. Far as I'm going with that. But they caught this man now 13 times. All 13 times, he's caught. They beat him down. They got guns on him. They're going to kill him, his wife, his kids, his grandkids. And they're going to die, all of them. Every time, the angel of the Lord comes and delivers them. So he's quite a frightening fella. And when you see him serious, you don't want to see him serious. Because you know something's up. And it's not the rent or the telephone bill. It's something else that you don't want to know about. Because that we can pay easily. Well, most of the time. Y'all okay so far? So this man lives in the zone. What does that mean? You don't know what that means. You don't have such thing around you. You think you have enough bullets. You think I've got enough guns. You don't. It's foolish pride that's lying to you. There you go. So I don't carry a gun down there. I just won't do it. Makes you a target. You say, well, not carrying a gun would make you more of a target. That depends on how you look at life, don't it? If God is real, you're better off trusting him than a 44 Magnum. If you have 10,000 rounds, you still don't have enough. I'm telling you. I'm telling y'all the truth. So, this I'm watching him. He's eating. He's doing what he's not. He's just nibbling. He's not really enjoying. So I walk over to him. You know, it's my responsibility to catch on to things. That's what Dad does. When you're not enjoying the toy box, he wants to bring you a new toy. He wants to please you. He wants you to be having fun. All right. So I ask him, what's wrong with the food? Nothing. Why aren't you eating it? It's good. What's the problem? Now, for 4.5 years, I have not been allowed to go to these churches that we have in his area because it's too dangerous for everybody. If I go, but just because of the color of my skin, I'm a widow, and I'm light-eyed. And if I go in there, let's say I have enough faith to get out. And I have enough courage and wit about me that I escape in a 100% death zone. Do you understand what that means, 100%? Anybody not from the area that goes in, don't come out. Anybody. Military, anybody. Do you hear me? I'm wondering if you're listening.
Yeah.
Okay. So, he looks at me and he goes, I need you to come back to our area. You know what my first, it was instant. You know what my response was? Publicly, in front of the other elders. You know what it was? How much they give you to turn me? You know who this man is? This man is one of my most loyal, most favored sons. But everybody in this room has a price. And they know how to twist it up where you will turn anybody. See, you don't believe that, see? It's because you believe in what you call freedom. See, look how quiet you got on me. Because you want to contest some of these things, but you can't. You raise up at any moment and do anything that anyone, any person that is in authority says not to do, and they will put you in jail, and you are not free anymore. So are you free? I'm wondering if you're free. No, you're obedient to them. Who are they? Who knows? But we all know the rules, don't we? And we live inside of that, and we come in here and we dance and call ourselves free.
That's right.
There you go. So I ask him, how much did they give you to turn me? He ignored me. He said, I need you to come now. I said, how come after 4.5 years, if I go in there and get out, then they raid and kill all of y'all, or if I don't make it, they kill me? Why is it okay now and it wasn't 4.5 years ago? See, that's a pretty good question, I think. Because the war is exactly the same. This man, let me tell you who he is. This man is a young man, long time ago, 30 years ago. Him and his brother came to church with double-edged knives under their shirts. Because what we do is when we preach the gospel, we ask people to come up and get born again. That's every day. And when they get there, we lift our hands up and pray with them. So they had it planned. They were paid assassins. That when and it wasn't me, it was one of my, it was Jeff Baker. You remember him? No? Oh, yeah. All right, Jeff is standing there, and he raises his hand. And when he does, they reach back to get their knives. And when they touch the knives, the Holy Ghost smashed them both. Amen. They were going to stab him in the heart, both of them. Boom, boom. But instead, when they touched the hardware, the Holy Ghost pushed them into the ground. Amen. Both of them got born again. Yep. Yeah. And they've been with us ever since. That's a really an amazing testimony. And so I said to him, even though I know all of that, I've been there the whole way. So even though I know every bit of detail about him, the first thing out of my mouth was, so how much did they pay you to turn? He ignored me. He said, it's God, you come. I said, I'll see about that. I didn't answer him one way or another. So I went upstairs. This is going to get you. I'm sorry, are you? Was you want to talk all in? Or do you want to do some chump change 80% or 50%? What do you want? What do you really want? So, see, every time I'm introduced, somebody call me a general or an apostle or, you know, something awesome like that. You know. And so I started listening to those words, and I began to think, am I that? Do I have the right to let them say those words about me? So I made a few decisions in my life. And it's brought this brightness to me, you see. You said, where'd you get that? Where'd I get it? A couple of really good decisions. You know what one of them is? Regardless of the cost. If I am that general, if I am that apostle, why would it even faze me to step up to the biggest demon they got and just slap him right in the mouth? Why would it? If those words are true. If that is who you are. If I am a son of God. If I am a true believer, I should know how to lead the all-in package. Shouldn't I?
Come on.
I should be able to come to you with brand new stories of the fearlessness and the courage of faith.
Amen.
Shouldn't I?
Yeah.
So, it irritated me to no end what he said to me. Because I don't want to be a coward. I have lived my life in courage and fearlessness. But if I go up there, I'm dead. And whoever I bring with me will die. So I thought about it. I went and sit in the chair, my praying chair, and I'm rocking. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Then here comes Miss Hogan. Oh, this woman. Boy, she is no help whatsoever in this arena of let me be a coward. She's doing something. She got something in her hands. And she comes in there, and I am serious. You don't want that guy. You need to trust me on this. This real soldier that lives inside of here, that'll take any demon they got, wrap his hand up in their beard, and run the word of God right through them, and just throw him on the ground, and look at hell. Is that all you got?
I know that's right.
See? See, she knows that guy. You know a version that you can tolerate. There you go. And it pushes on it sometimes. So, she says to me, she put down her whatever work she was doing. That's all she ever does. She don't ever sit down. She just works all the time. She's something's wrong with her. She's full of the Holy Ghost or something. And she says to me, what's up with you? And one thing our marriage is based on is truth. We figured it out over all these years. Regardless of what it costs us, we got to get it off our chest honestly. So I told her exactly the truth. You know what her response was to me? Hermano David. That's me, Brother David. Hermano David. Dios nos llamó a México. Brother David, God called us to Mexico to preach the gospel. Go preach. And you know who's got the most to lose of everybody on this planet in our relationship? She does. But you know who's got the most to gain in our relationship with God if we're obedient together? She does. You women, listen to what I just said to you. And so, because my love for her is period. Her love for me is the same way. So the truth is what makes it happen. And I said, you're right. Go on. Da, da, da. So she left. And I'm sitting there another hour. And I walk in there to my desk where the world runs in our world. I flipped it over a couple of months. Wrote my name down with on those days and put in that village. Because once it's on that thing, do you know what happens next? It happens. It don't get off the agenda no more. You do it. So I call the missionaries that were available. A lot of them are at church and that. But in the morning, they're out there with me praying. We got through praying, and this is how it goes. I'm going to tell you about soldiers. There's a difference. I said, I got to tell y'all something. I'm going to, and I named the village. Every eye in the room, and these are fearless, these are awesome guys. Every eye in the room went to the ground. Boom. Because we all know we're dead men if we touch it. All of us know it. So, I told Jody, my son Jody, y'all know him. I said, stand up. He said, what do you need, Dad? I said, you going with me. He has never, ever squared up at me. His whole life, he's 40-something year old. Is he 40-something? Three? He squared up on me. He's a big boy now. And he squared up on me. And I said, bring it. I mean, he's a man. He has the right to talk to me. He can square up on me. It's okay. That's how men do things. You figure it out. I said, what do you want? He said, I got a question for you. So, who knows what his question was? What is it? What is it? He said one thing to me. You don't know what it is or not. You interested? He said, I mean, he squared up on me now. He says, Dad, yes, sir. You going to be standing beside me? I said, to the death. And he just looked at me. I'm in. See, this is how men, this is all in. I'm looking right at my son. He's my favorite, you know. He's my oldest. He's strong. He's gifted. He's pleasing. He loves his mom. He loves God. He loves his wife and kids. And I'm going to take him and have him killed. How about that? Now I'm speaking a language you don't know anything about. But it's in the all-in package. See? Now, well, I don't know if I know. That's why I'm bringing it up. Because you need to know what you're signing up for. Don't you need to know that? How much are you willing to give for somebody else? Where's your limit? Where's your line? I'm going to find it because I can't. I'm good at this. And then we're going to work on it. Try to make the line further away from you. You hear me or not? Yeah. And another guy, I told him, you're going. You know what? He just stood up. Old guy, same age as me. He just looked at me. He and I have been working together for close to 40 years. And he looked me right in the face. Finally, somebody worth dying with. I said, so be it. There you go. There's the team. One crazy man, another crazy man, and another crazy man. So now that you made the decision, do you know how uncomfortable it is now to carry it out? If you could have gone right then, it would have been a lot easier. But it's still 2 weeks. Fear comes. Keeps you awake almost all night, every night. You don't eat anymore. You can't eat. And see, in y'all's world, y'all have been taught, all of you have been taught that if you feel fear, it's sin. Well, you're a human being. Part of your makeup is fear. I'm going to release you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to cut a few chains off of you. Here they go. Being afraid is not the sin. Submitting to it is the sin. Now you hear me? This all-in package that I live in, I live with fear every day of my life. But not submitting to it is the goal. Squaring up on hell and walking in, knowing the price. You hear me? We can do this, y'all. Everybody in this room can do this. We have the same God. We have the same rights. We are sons of God. We are children of Zion. So the day finally come. And I was holding Ms. Hogan. I didn't want to get in that truck. Do you understand that? Because I know. Because I'm bright. Look what color I am. I'm bright. I kissed her goodbye, and I wouldn't look at her again. My grandkids, all of them, they're right there crying. I'm not going to see them anymore. I just put that truck in reverse and backed out. I left. I can't look at them. See, this is the all-in package. Yes. And I understand I live in extreme. I understand that. But I'm inviting you to the power of God. I'm inviting you to the deliverance in the name of Jesus. I'm inviting you to the blessing that has no limits. Now you what? We get up there, it's 2 hours away where you got to make the decision. Because it's the line. We made the decision. We got in the old beat down truck. We're driving back in there. We went across the line. Too late now. They done made the call. They got spotters. They made the call. You're inside the zone now. You ain't coming out. All of a sudden the phone rings. It's the pastor. He says, when you turn in on this road right here, don't slow down. Just slow enough for me to run and jump in the back. This is how difficult it is where we live. We turn in there. Here comes this guy running out of the bushes. He jumps in a moving vehicle in the back. And he won't even tell us what road to take. He just taps on the truck. Turn here. Turn here. And we get to the building. It is crammed full of people. And we get inside there and these ladies started giving us food. Oh my gosh. I started eating so much food. Look, I thought I was going to blow up. They gave me food, stacked up. They were so pleased. Do you understand? People need us. And we're allowing fear to run the church. You don't have the right. Jesus is king of this house. You went too far. Not yet, but I'm fixing to. Just hang out. Because I ain't went too far yet. Too far is whenever we're through eating and these bad guys walk in. Now, you ever seen them? You don't even know if you've seen them. Are they sitting in this room? We don't know. Because they look like you. They smell like you. And they talk like you. They just ain't like you. 15 of these guys. Tatted up. Big boys. Bald headed. Just staring. Mean little spits. And I'm sitting there looking at them. Oh no. We're not going to get out of this. Brother Don. No. We're dead. Here? Okay. And the pastor looks at me and says, get up and preach. I said, I will not. Are you crazy? You get up there and preach. You know what his words to me were? They've been sent here to kill you. It's too late. Preach to them. So, hence the all-in terminology grows now. See? This is why I'm telling you, if you want to hear it, I want to say it. So I got up there, I preached probably the best message I've ever preached, probably. I was scared. I couldn't hardly breathe. I'd already fed me so much I couldn't hardly talk anyway. And now fear's got me by the throat. Love's almost killed me. Now fear's going to kill me. Y'all, I'm telling you, these boys are bruisers. They big and they bad and they got guns. They're going to slaughter us. Right? You got it? It's 15 of them. Let me tell you about me. I know sitting in this scenario, it's easy. I get that. But that scenario wasn't easy. You know what my first question to him was whenever it was time? You only brought 15. That tells me you don't think I'm bad enough. Here he comes. And when that big boy started moving, see, he's the capitan, the comandante fella. Here he comes. Look. Oh, he was massive. He was a specimen. He was scary. I mean, he was a soldier. Well, he's the bad kind, but he was a soldier. And he was an awesome specimen. And he gets up there, and he's this big. He's about this much taller than me. And I'm looking at him. Are you serious? And I didn't know what he was going to say. He ain't scared of me. He's looking me right in the eyes. So I returned him the favor. I was literally trembling, but I wasn't about to back down. Well, he's going to kill you. He hadn't yet. You don't have any proof that his God is capable. I've got proof that my God will walk in the furnace with me. You don't know that I won't walk out of there without the smell of smoke on me.
Come on.
I am in the furnace. It is true. Well, there's a fourth one coming. And his appearance is that of the Son of God. Golly, y'all, I was scared. I mean, I got chills. My everything's standing up on me all over. Look. Just remembering it. And he got really close to me. He's just looking me up one side and down the other. And I'm just standing there. I mean, I'm trembling. I mean, my boot, I'm trembling. You know what he said to me? Who it is local. You're crazy. I said, see. Yeah. He said, ¿Qué te pasa? What's wrong with you? I said, Se llama Jesucristo. His name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
This was just a couple of months ago. So I'm not over it. Can you tell? I'm freaked out. I'm on fire. I'm a firebrand.
Amen.
I will burn down the orchard of hell. God gave me a match. I only need one.
Amen.
I will burn hell to the ground with it. I said, ¿Qué quieres?